It's the Gadget Grill for May 3rd, 2000 and... I can barely hear myself. Can you fix that?
turn your volume on your headphones up.
Oh, maybe that's it. There we go. I'll just sit a bit closer. It's the Gadget Grill for May 3rd, 2009. How is everybody?
I am well. I am Gary Starr. Good evening and welcome to tonight's edition of The Gadget Grill. How are you this evening? Mr. Lee Stark on the other side of the microphone who failed to identify himself at the start.
I am Mr. Failed to identify myself. I am Lee Stark. I am the other host of The Gadget Grill. I think I'm probably the main host of The Gadget
you
Grill.
You would be, that would be you, the main host.
I'm the main host. I'm the host with the most? Not really. I'm okay.
Host with the most what?
With the most flu. I think I've got more flu than anyone else in here. Apologies to the person who comes in after me. I hope, hopefully you don't end up catching what I probably have.
In actual fact, that's why we've got condoms on the microphones today to stop the...
That's bad. I should clean them off later on.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Welcome to tonight's edition of The Gadget Grill.
Oh, damn. What a bad way to start the show.
What do we got on the show tonight, Lee?
On the show tonight, we're talking. I think this is your topic.
Yes, we're talking.
We're talking. We're talking. Lots of useless, random talking. Tonight, we're talking about batteries. Not a salt and battery.
No.
Not battery acid. Although that could probably be used in it. We're talking about batteries.
Batteries, the little things that you put in your saddle when you want to give your racehorse a charge.
If by racehorse you mean electronic vehicle, then...
That's right,
Yeah, I guess that's what you mean, yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
All of our electronic equipment needs batteries, so we're going to talk a little bit about those today. We actually have an interview with Jeff Service from Enterprises in Melbourne, and he will tell us a little bit about battery technology and what we should and shouldn't do.
Cool. I like battery technology mostly because if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to get that Energizer Bunny working. You know, I like my Energizer Bunny. Bangs the drum. It's better than the drummer I had in my band.
Yes, it is. Not to mention the vibrator.
No, I don't need a vibrator. I'm quite good, thank you very much. We're also going to look at it's sort of like a useless gadget, I guess you could say. It's not. We're going to look at
useless application.
Sort of. We're going to look at fake phone call technology because we're going to show you an example of one that works and
we're
one that doesn't.
We're going to hold it up to the microphone again.
Yeah, we're going to hold it up to the microphone. I'll bring the camera out. I'll be nice and bring the camera out. We'll put it online later on if I feel so inclined. We're going to show. We're going to let you hear an example of a phone application where basically it's a fake phone call. Get you out of those irritating times, you know, when, like, you're talking to your dad and you really just don't want to hear about the useless crap he's talking about. Well, maybe in your case, it's talking to your son and you really don't want to hear about the useless crap he's talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the fake call. And we've also got some news coming up on the show. And this is our New Orleans Spectacular.
Yes, the New Orleans Jazz Festival is on as we speak.
It ends this weekend, doesn't it?
It ends this weekend. Today, Sunday.
You didn't get to go.
I know. Today, Sunday, is the last day of New Orleans Jazz Fest. I have been listening to the broadcasts of it across the internet, and there's been some bloody good music today. Earlier today, I was listening to the Miles Davis tribute that they put on 50 years since Kind of Blue.
Wow, it's a long time. We're not playing Kind of Blue instead.
And they actually had Jimmy Cobb there leading the band. So,
well, what we're going to do tonight instead is play pretty much a whole bunch of New Orleans music. I think with the exception of one, every one of these artists is from New Orleans.
But the other one does play in New Orleans quite a bit.
That's true. And we'll back announce them and forward announce them just so you can, if you really like them, you know, you can head online and do some research and find more about them. So these are all New Orleans acts, and this is our tribute to New Orleans this weekend.
In actual fact, the first artist, they played some music with him today when he was a lot younger, playing with the oldest working musician in New Orleans as well, the youngest and the oldest.
Well, in that case, we should definitely get into it right now to start the show off. This is Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. I spelled his name wrong on the sheet.
You did, I noticed that.
Trombone Short. This is Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue with Orleans and Claiborne. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. I almost forgot the name of the station. That's probably not a good sign, is it?
What station?
Yeah, exactly. That was Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue with Orleans and Claiborne. And as we said, tonight is a New Orleans spectacular, so we'll back announce everything just in case you missed it. The first time we forward announced it, yeah.
Are you confused? You look confused.
I couldn't remember the radio station name for a second there, so I think I am. But before I completely lose my mind, let's go into the news.
Okay, what do we got? What do we got?
There's a lot of stuff this week.
There's been a lot of interesting things happening this week. The first news item that I've got relates to the Apple iPhone.
Oh, we've both got some Apple news, haven't we?
Yeah, and the story that I have says that...
That was nice, Dad. That's not supposed to happen.
I see what's happened. Okay.
You get some mail?
I got some mail.
Oh, good for you. Yes. You've got mail.
I got mail. Interesting. That came through the microphone, though.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway.
Apple has the highest customer satisfaction rating of all mobile phone manufacturers, according to a newly published study. J.D. Power and Associates, and they're not an organization that I necessarily agree with, but they aggregated the experiences reported by 15,270 traditional mobile phone users and 2,648 smartphone users, as opposed to smartphone users.
Yeah, of course. We should note there's a significant difference between an intelligent phone user and someone who uses smartphones.
And concluded that Apple and LG were the two highest rating manufacturers.
LG is an interesting one because that kind of has me a little bit shocked. I would have expected Nokia and Samsung to be in that list as well, especially since Nokia were really the first ones to come out
with
smartphones.
This is satisfaction with your device, though, Lee.
Hmm.
And certainly...
The iPhone's pretty hard to beat. You know?
The iPhone is very hard to beat, and I've had mine now for just over a year. I got mine this time last year when I was in San Diego.
For the New Orleans Jazz Fest as well, when he was in New Orleans, yep.
That's right. And... A year on, I am still very, very, very satisfied with my iPhone.
That said, we both have the first generation, the ones with the aluminium backs, which means ours are less likely to break than, say, the second generation. It actually had me thinking a few days ago.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shock, horror, my brain didn't explode. I was a bit surprised. I thought about it, and I was like, okay, every device except for the new Apple phone is cased in metal. You got the iPod Touch is metal around it.
They've almost
gone backwards with it, and it has me a bit shocked because you look at the Apple iPhone, the current generation, the second version that runs on the first version that runs on 3G, but the second model of it, and you look at it and you go, hang on, why is it plastic when you can get the iPod Touch for cheaper and it's metal? I'm a bit confused by that. I've got some Apple news for you as well, though.
Please.
The iPhone App Store, which is possibly it's one of the biggest reasons why the iPhone and the iPod Touch are selling so well at the moment.
Yep.
You know, 1 billion apps later, they're going strong. It looks like there's a possible lawsuit on the horizon for Apple over late payments from the developers of the apps because there's a 45-day wait policy, basically, for when you get paid, and Apple haven't really come through with that. People have been waiting since September and November.
Well, the only problem is they didn't actually say when the 45 days was going to start.
No. It says 45 days from the end of the month. So I guess that's from the end of the month.
They didn't say which month.
I guess the idea is from the end of the month you uploaded it and started selling from.
Just because you think that's the case, and just because I might think that's
anyway, the case. Anyway, that's the news. So, you know, not very good from Apple's point of view, especially if they want developers to continually make stuff for it. I guess it'll be interesting to see how Palm handle this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially the Palm Pre.
That's right. That's going to be very interesting because I'll be having a look at that sort of stuff a little bit more closely over the next month or so as I start looking at the Palm as a development platform as well for some of the work that I do. Interesting news item for you from ABC News. A significant fish fossil has been discovered on New South Wales's far south coast that is thought to be the largest of its kind in the world.
A fish fossil? You know, can I get one of these on my iPhones?
You should be able to, yes.
iFish,
yes. ANU paleontologist Gavin Young says a 40-millimetre tooth was excavated near Eden late last year. A recent analysis of 150 rock samples revealed that the fossil is a lobe-finned fish thought to be an ancestor of humans.
Really?
We worked
out... I could certainly indicate some friends of mine that I'd probably put on the fish list.
Yes. We worked out that it's actually in the red mudstone that form all these cliffs to the south of Eden, running right down to Green Cape. They're in the latest part of the Devonian period. So this is when you get your Devon sandwiches.
Of course, yeah.
Which places them around about 360 million years ago. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. But I'm going to match your fish story.
You're
going to
see my fish story.
I'm
going to
see your fish story and raise you with augmented reality. Have you ever heard of this technology?
Define reality.
Okay, well, this is augmented reality. Define reality. The world you currently situate yourself within. Augmented reality is a technology which I need to get an interview for this show, just to explain it better. But augmented reality is basically the elegant way of saying virtual reality without having to wear a clunky VR headset. Basically, you wear glasses or you put it in your iPhone or some other technology where you can still see the real world. And it overlays data, information, like graphics or sprites, over it. So Canon have come up with the Mixed Reality Aquarium Headset, which is basically...
Sounds a bit fishy to me.
It is a little bit. It's a small... It's basically sunglasses or glasses you wear on your head, and they transform any place into a giant fishbowl with animated fish that fly in and out of it. And this uses augmented reality, which is actually going to become more...
Are you sure they're fish and not whales?
No, I could show you the
they're
fish.
They're not flopping whales?
They're not flopping whales in the slightest. They don't fall to their deaths after disappearing from a plant. I'm struggling here.
Turning into a pot plant,
yeah,
yes.
Turning into a pot plant. Yeah, this is augmented reality. I don't know when this is going to come out. Probably never, knowing this sort of thing. It's mostly research, but... you can soon imagine, it's not just, you know, getting drunk, you can soon put on a headset and imagine that you're a fish.
Oh.
Not being caught, though, that would be a bit weird. Can I give you something very interesting, though?
Please.
There's a helicopter.
That would be a change.
It would be. There are two devices that have been announced, basically, in the same day, which seem really weird. First is a helicopter. It's an unmanned mini helicopter. It's got the name the Canna Chopper. And what it's doing is it's sniffing out pot, marijuana specifically, not pot plants. It's sniffing out. It's a little helicopter that is being used in the Netherlands, and it's sniffing out.
Does it go Dutch?
Well, I guess it does. But it's going to I think, be used by the cops and whatnot to track illegal marijuana use in Netherlands, because apparently there's a difference between illegal and legal in Netherlands. Who knew?
That's interesting, because in the Netherlands, marijuana usage is legal.
I think it has use. Anyway, the other development similar to this is NASA. They've come up with an e-nose, the electronic nose, which is used for air monitoring on the space station, make sure it's all safe for the people there.
This one really stinks, yeah.
Yeah, of course. They've come up with this technology. The e-nose has been improved now to actually be able to detect cancerous brain cells. So if you're sitting up there on the space station listening to Gadget Grill, not only can we not track you, you've also got an IP address that's out of this world. You're sitting up there, and if this thing beeps, congratulations, you might have gotten cancer from listening to our show.
I love the smell of cancer in the morning.
What does it smell like?
I have no idea.
Victory, maybe? No, we have to ask the E-nos. We'd have to ask
the E-nos.
It probably says 0011011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got... Los Hombres Caliente, the Hot Guys coming up.
The Hot Guys? The Hot Guys.
Los Hombres Caliente, good music.
Should we mention quickly that this is going to be a Logie-free show? We haven't mentioned that yet, have we? Can you stop dying over there?
And we should not mention that it's going to be a Logie-free show, because it is going to be a Logie-free show, and if we mention that it's a Logie-free show, then we've mentioned the Logies, which we shouldn't be doing.
Good point. Let's just listen to El Barrio by the Los Hombres Calientes.
To recall artists and their music of yesteryear? If so, then listen to me from 7 a.m. on Tuesday Breakfast Show with Stephanie, presenting music for your pleasure on 2RDJ 88.1 FM, the voice of Sydney's inner west.
This is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2. I got to stop doing it, haven't I? I really have to stop doing that.
Focus, Lee. Focus.
Didn't have enough alcohol last night. I'm fine. I'm not drunk. I'm just... tired.
Or maybe it was a bit too much anyway, alcohol last night.
You're listening to The Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ with Lee and Gary Stark. You can head us up on www.radio2rdj.com if you're listening to us
on the internet.
On the internet. If
remember the internet?
No, I try not to, to be honest. And if you want to find
remember
out...
Remember the Alamo.
No. Most people don't, I don't think. Not in this country, anyway.
Well, you've been to San Antonio, so you should.
I haven't been to the Alamo, though.
That was only across the road from where
I thought it was in Austin, the Alamo.
No.
You sure?
San Antonio.
Okay. Anyway, you can listen to any. You can listen to us and the shows we're talking about, and you can also find out anything we're talking about at the website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
Or if you want to find out something intelligent and...
Hit the New York Times or something else.
That's right.
Hit Pop Sci, I don't know.
Something authoritative, yes.
Yeah, you know, something like that. That was Los Hombres Calientes with El Barrio. Some... Really good Afro-Cuban soul.
Afro-Cuban jazz from Los Hombres Calientes. The Hot Guys.
They
are good guys. Jason
Marsalis and Irvin Mayfield.
And
Kermit roughens every so often.
No. Kermit doesn't play with them.
He plays on some of the tracks.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll
definitely.
We'll get Kermit later.
Anyway, we've got our story, which is something you can talk about.
Yes,
for a change.
During the week, I managed to have a catch up with Jeff Servas from... serviced technology down in
Melbourne. What do
they do? They import and distribute batteries and battery chargers and that sort of technology. Jeff is pretty much has become an expert in that sort of field.
Guess you would if you did that sort of thing for a living.
Exactly, if you did that sort of thing every day. And I've got a lot more of the interview than what I'm going to play here today for you. So maybe we could use that for a second show at some point in the future.
Or we can put it on the website, you know.
We could put a transcript on the website.
Oh, Don't make me do something like that. That's work.
I know.
Work. Anyway.
I know. It's the only four-letter word you don't know the meaning of.
Basically, yeah.
So without further ado, let's have a listen to what Jeff and I spoke about during the week. I'm talking with Jeff Servas from Servas Products in Melbourne. Jeff is an importer of batteries and battery chargers, and Jeff, yeah, you're a bit of an expert in battery technology, I understand.
I guess I've become an expert over the last few years with lots of different questions and I guess you learn as you go and now I've got a pretty good handle on the space that is rechargeable batteries particularly.
Okay, can you explain to us quickly what the different types of technologies that we see today might be?
Yeah, okay. If you're talking about your DVD player, you've got a remote control and it takes batteries, and just about anything these days has a remote control for it. And you can either put your alkalines in it, which is your normal Everready's or any of the numerous brands that you'll see in the supermarket, in the service station, even in the post office these days. They've got a rack of batteries that they'll sell you there, and that's sort of the entry-level technology is the alkaline batteries. Once you get into something a little bit more demanding on power, you need to look at something that can output the power faster than that and hold more. And the lithium battery Energizer pretty much had the lithium battery to themselves in the AA size for quite a while. There's a couple of other brands now. But that's got a very high density of power. So if you're looking for disposable batteries for a camera flash or for a point-and-shoot camera, then the lithium battery will give you a lot more life, maybe five or six times as much as many shots for your camera as the alkaline. And then you move into the rechargeable ones. It used to be NiCad back in the 90s. NiCad was the rage, and then nickel metal hydride, which is also NiCad is nickel cadmium. Nickel metal hydride's a different compound. It doesn't suffer from those memory effects that the NiCads used to suffer from. And now there's lithium polymers and lithium ions, and they have an even higher density than the nickel metal hydride. But lithium can be dangerous. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, Sony had a very big recall on their batteries for laptops.
I remember that.
When lithium gets too low, it gets volatile. And a question I've had a number of times is, can I get rechargeable lithiums for my device? You know, they want a AA lithium battery. Now, the thing with most devices that take a AA battery is they're not very smart. They're not talking to the battery and seeing how the battery's doing, whereas if you've got a mobile phone or a camera, they've got a proprietary lithium battery which talks to the device, and the device says, you're getting low, and it will display on your screen, your battery's getting low, time to switch it out. And if you don't do anything about it, you keep discharging that battery, it'll get to the point where it'll just switch off, and that's to protect both the battery and itself. If you went and took one of those standard lithium batteries and put it in a torch or something that's just going to drain the energy, it's going to keep taking it lower and lower and lower until it gets volatile and explodes. So,
let's talk about chargers for a moment. There are chargers and there are chargers. I've seen chargers costing $10 and I've seen chargers costing $100 and more.
Yes.
Why should I spend $100 on a charger rather than $10 on a charger?
Well, a $10 charger is going to be a very basic device. Basically, you can see they're almost given away with a set of batteries in Dick Smith and Harvey Norman. And really all it does is it's a fixed amount of energy that's provided to those batteries, and it's not a very smart device. Generally, it's designed just for that set of batteries, and the assumption is that you use the batteries until they're completely empty, and then you put them in this charger, and it completely fills them up. So that's a big contrast to the smart chargers, which will actually monitor the battery's voltage and also monitor the temperature. If the battery gets too hot, it'll terminate the charge. Once the battery voltage tops out and reaches what's called a zero delta V, that's a zero change in the voltage, or a negative delta V, where the voltage actually starts to dip and go down, the charger knows that the batteries are full and will terminate the charge. So if your batteries are half full, you get it'll fill the other half.
You kind of cut that off abruptly.
That faded out a little bit, yes. Interesting. I know why, the auto fade. Such is life, yeah.
Interesting, because I think I actually learnt something there.
Oh, that's good. That's the whole idea of it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't actually know much about batteries, and I can see some actual... I can see some devices I've probably reviewed in the past, phones that don't have enough of those smart technologies in them. I remember a phone I reviewed recently where it charged, and then for some reason you plugged it back in. You know, because you thought it had charged, you weren't sure really, plugged it back in, and depleted the battery, and you were like, you took it out, and it was like, oh, no battery life left.
Exactly, yeah. Battery technology is quite interesting, and they're making, quite interesting progress in that as well. And, of course, the battery technology applies beyond the small devices that we use, that we talk about here.
Mm, absolutely.
Because, you've got electric cars, and there's going to be an electric car on the road in Australia in... about 18 months or so, Mitsubishi are going to be bringing one out to the market soon.
Not to mention things like the alcohol fuel cells.
That's right, opposed to the alcoholic fuel cells.
Alcoholic fuel cells. I like getting, the alcohol-based fuel cells that are coming out, which will be used in laptops and palm tops and all sorts of devices like that.
Yeah, so you can
on a version of that.
Get drunk while you're computing.
You could, but not with that technology. No. Let's just electrocute yourself in the process.
Let's just pour some tequila into this part of the computer.
Is it Cinco de Mayo yet?
Not for another 2 days. Okay. On the shed, we're going to have a Cinco de Mayo special.
Oh, wow. So you're going to make a margarita for everyone?
Oh, we'll have a margarita for everybody
make
in the
studio.
Make
sure you're at two... No, don't. The place will get overcrowded pretty quickly.
I know.
We're not allowed to serve. We don't have a license
to serve, but we will be enjoying margaritas somewhere, sometime on
Cinco
de Mayo.
Not in the actual studio, because that's not allowed, right?
That is correct. Okay. That is not allowed. We will be... Peter and I promise to be good on Tuesday.
Somewhat, anyway.
Well, we're never good.
Anyway...
we're brilliant.
Anyway, thanks to Jeff for letting Dad speak to him.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. In Melbourne, we appreciate that. Appreciate your time. It is very valuable. And thank you. As I said, I've got a lot more stuff from that interview with Jeff that I may cut up and use further down the track as well, if I run out of other things that we want to talk about.
That's wonderful. Thank you for giving me more hope on this show. Yeah, the Gadget Grill. We have no idea what we're on about. We'll make sure it's interesting at least 10% of the time.
On the subject of not knowing what we're on about.
How does that have to tie in with the song? You should have tied it in with the shed joke. You should have tied it in with the shed joke.
Because yeah, but I missed it, so I'm going to tie it in with
the
song.
Okay, well, let me tie it in with the shed for you. The shed is a bit like a house that we live in, or a house that you live in anyway.
Okay.
So this is...
But actually, there was actually on abc.net.au, on the news site, the ABC, the shed compared favourably with the opera house.
Well, now that is a good segue into this song, because if the shed compares favourably with the opera house, then the house that I live in is an excellent way to go into it. So this is Diane Reeves with a really bad segue. No, this is a Diane Reeves with The House I Live In. Alright, this time I'm going to get it right. 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, this is The Gadget Grill. Did I get it right that time, didn't I?
Maybe.
Okay. This is The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark, which is me, and Gary Stark, which is
him.
You know, that nice guy over there behind the deck, doing everything that I'm not, because I'm just the host. You're the producer, right?
I'm the producer, yeah.
I guess you're a presenter. You get emails before me sometimes.
I often get emails before you.
Yeah.
Especially if they're addressed to me and not you.
Usually that's the case, although I'm going to make sure that doesn't work anymore. Right now we're going to talk about a useless gadget per se. It's not a useless gadget, really, is it? It's a useless app, and this week I got to play with a new device. It's a new Samsung phone, and it's got a function in it which is actually really quite clever. It's to get you out of awkward situations. Like, I don't know, say you're talking to your ex-boss or an ex-girlfriend, and you want to interrupt it with a fake phone call. Well, now there's a way to do it. But what was interesting about this was everyone in this little briefing turned to each other and said, "Hang on. Isn't there an iPhone app that does the exact same thing?"
And they were right. There is, except the Apple iPhone application doesn't actually work all that well. You got to set it up, and you can set it up for 30 seconds or a minute or, you know, sort of a little bit of time ahead of when you want it to call you, and you set it up, and then you wait for it to call, and it just doesn't work. It might call you or it might not, and... Then when you go to answer the fake call, it might answer or it might not, you know. And it's
a real struggle because you look at it from your point of view and you're sort of like, okay, I'm in the middle of a phone call. It won't look awkward at all, me taking my iPhone out, flicking to the right application and then saying, "Hold on, I've got a phone call."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whereas the one that is on this new Samsung phone...
Yeah, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
I'm
just going to try it right now, you know, because I really enjoy talking to you. So, you know, just keep talking.
Okay, well, I'm just going to keep talking because this is the new Samsung that was released earlier this week. Oh, the phone's ringing, Lee.
Ow.
Hello, Lee. What are you up to? Yeah,
okay.
Are you able to get home now?
Okay, you might not have heard that.
That was pretty faint.
That was pretty faint. I can try it again if you want. No, you get the idea. So what you do is you record the phone message in settings, and then after you've done that and you saved it, you hold down on the volume key as if volume down, as if you could hold it down further than possibly imaginable, or their lack thereof or something.
Right. You just push it down while it's in your pocket.
While it's in your pants. And then you get a phone call and you can answer it and you can pretend as if you're talking on the phone and you can say to the person, "Oh, yeah, you know, I've really got to take this, bugger off," sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's actually an interesting app and it works.
And it works. And it's built into the phone. I guess it's one of the most interesting...
It's an interesting inclusion.
It's an interesting
phone.
Included feature. You don't normally expect someone to say, "Hey, I got to get out of this phone call. Thanks for a company for actually coming up with it."
Right. Okay. That's sort of like the boss key on the phone.
It is a bit like that.
We're going to move along with some more music now.
This is Alan Toussaint. Is that Alan Toussaint?
Alan Toussaint, a gentleman, an absolute legend in the music business out of New Orleans. I've had the pleasure of meeting him once.
I always wonder about this song because I wonder if he's talking about the place.
Not quite. Okay. Which one? Tips?
Tipitina, yeah.
No, there's three different tips, but no, he's not talking about the place. He's talking, I think it's a lady whom it was named for.
Okay, well, this is more New Orleanian music. This is Alan Toussaint with Tipitina and Me.
Mm-hmm.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, the end of the Gadget Grill, sadly, for our New Orleans spectacular. It's been a pretty nice spectacular. Update on the Logies, no one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares. That's our update on the Logies.
I have had an email where somebody's protesting that we're doing too much for the Logies, so we should shut up.
We probably shut up now and talk about something else. Because coming up to end the show off, we have probably the New Orleans icon with the best song you can talk about with what actually is New Orleans. It's you know, Kermit Ruffins with What Is New Orleans. It's a brilliant song. If you don't understand the New Orleans energy from this song, you're thinking too hard, probably.
That's right. Yeah. New Orleans, they call it the Big Easy, and they call it the Big Easy.
This song is the big demonstration of that, yeah.
Well, you haven't been sharing any of those beignets with me.
I haven't. I kept them all. I'm going to grow nice, big, and fat because of them. Yes. But you haven't been sharing your coffee with me, so
well,
I guess
that's
fair.
Well, you don't like coffee, sir.
I like some coffee. I like New Orleans coffee. Anyway, next week we're talking, Google Tips.
Google Tips, yes.
Gmail and Labs.
Well, basically, tips on how to get the most out of your Gmail account. There's a few little tricks that you can do with your Gmail.
If you don't have a Gmail now, go get one. I think anyone can do it.
It's very
like Hotmail,
useful,
but it doesn't suck.
And it's also very useful if you want to spam people, I'm finding out, because all of the spams...
Not that we'd ever encourage that.
No, all the spam that we're getting on the forum at the moment, everyone who's signing up to spam us is signing up with a Gmail address. So I've actually banned Gmail from the forum.
Wonderful. How nice of you.
I know.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Labs, because that's certainly got a play in it as well. My name is Lee Stark.
And my name is Gary Stark. I happen to be Lee's dad. You have been listening to The Gadget Grill.
Only if you haven't. If you haven't been listening to The Gadget Grill, you've been listening to something else.
And we are on to RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. This is Kermit Ruffins, and What Is New Orleans?
Have a good week, everybody.
Enjoy.